Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. In just about 5 or 6 minutes, we're going to dive into a segment about bosses that are just too nice. And we were a little concerned that our senior producer, Matt, is going to hear us and get the wrong idea and begin a horrifying reign of terror that few of us are likely to survive.
I will destroy you!
So this is it for you producers, everybody. Our last chance to ingratiate yourselves before the iron fist of Martinez takes hold.
Right here.
Everybody in the studio. Okay, Pashman's late. I'm just pointing that out. Pashman's late. I'm trying to deflect the wrath.
There he is.
It'll happen later on today. We have the most emailed, most popular, most everything stories on the web. Ian is giving Matt a back rub now.
Otherwise, has nothing to do with
it. If you guys don't do this right, tomorrow Matt will murder you. This is the most. Dan Pashman.
Hey, guys. I've been sitting here. I don't know. What are we going
to
call on me?
You're late to the party. You're first up.
Read nothing of the fact that I'm a little bit out of breath. Most emailed here from Yahoo News. Good article. Study finds immigrants commit less California crime. Immigrants are far less likely than the average U.S.-born citizen to commit crime in California, which is the most populous state in the union. People born outside the U.S. make up about 35% of California's adult population, but they account for about 17% of the adult prison population.
Who did this study?
This study comes from the Public Policy Institute of California.
Okay.
This really kind of flies in the face of the conventional wisdom of a lot of folks out there. I know that Lou Dobbs, I think I'm paraphrasing, but I think that he believes that immigrants actually steal crimes. They take the crimes that Americans would be committing.
Right.
And commit them instead. And then, you know, American criminals get put out of business.
It's Dobbsian logic.
So eat your heart out, Lou Dobbs. I'll have to read up on this and figure out what happened.
Super senior producer Matt Martinez. You look great today, Matt.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, that's
very
nice of you to say so. God, you guys are wonderful. I have one of the most emailed at the Denver Post right now. It's about the Grand Canyon. They're going to flood it for the third time since 1996. Actually, it's still pending some approval by the Department of Interior, but they built this Glen Canyon Dam. I don't know if you know Lake Powell, which is created by Glen Canyon Dam. They built that in 1963. It's the second largest man-made lake and reservoir in the country. The other one actually happens to be in Arizona. It's called Lake Mead. Anyway, when they built this dam, it stopped the natural spring flooding of the Grand Canyon. And so there were no, you know, beach erosion. There was, you know, fish habitat, you know, was all messed up. So they realized that they had to start flooding the canyon to replicate the replicate the cycles. And so they're gonna try it again for the third time. And what they basically do is they open up these huge, giant tubes, and all of this water comes out, and it replicates the flooding, and it's pretty amazing. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, I lived there for about 3.5 years. At the bottom of the Grand Canyon. No, in northern Arizona. I lived in northern Arizona. I'm getting ahead of myself. And it's very tranquil, very peaceful. There are some rapids.
I was going to say, how does this affect the whitewater?
Well, there are some rapids, but this is like crazy rapids when they let this go.
Do they let people go down?
I think they keep people off. I'm not exactly 100% sure. I had a friend who worked for the Interior Department who actually oversaw all of these things.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's a pretty cool stuff.
Cool.
Ian's next.
Yeah, I actually have a most emailed between Trisha and I. It's called Matt Martinez, Incredible Boss. We've just
really?
Been sending it back and forth. It's really a great read. I'll send it to you guys.
I'm going to read it. Yeah.
Also, most emailed from the Daily Press of Virginia. Headline, here's a guy who takes his beer seriously. This is this was also the top story on the Daily Press. A guy from York, Virginia. His name's Matt Vinsky, beer drinker of the year. Now, this isn't quantity. He didn't consume the most beer. He just has sort of a real discerning taste. He has a beer resume, which in says he's been to 454 breweries in 16 countries. Apparently, in his will, it says he's to have his body cremated and his ashes used in a beer to be served at his wake.
Oh, my God.
He's quoted as saying, "I've instructed my wife to tell people at the ceremony, Matt is more a part of you than you think." I should add, he met his wife, said wife, at a bar.
Of course he did. Trisha McKinney, our editor from the control room.
Yeah,
I'm top that, McKinney.
Okay, this is over. No, I'm kidding. So the most read story on USAtoday.com today is the story that actually you handled in the newscast today about that survey of 1,200 American teenagers, and apparently they show a woeful ignorance of U.S. history and culture. But I think what made people on USA Today click on this is it came with a little quiz. It came with some of the questions from the survey. So I thought I'd share some of these questions with you, see how you do, and compare you guys to the teenagers. So one of the questions was, when was the Civil War? And it gave a range of options. Before 1750, 1750 to 1800, 1800 to 1850, 1850 to 1900, 1900 to 1950, or after 1950.
Oh, no.
I know, this is a long question.
Can you say them again, please?
Is that the Civil War?
Does anybody know when the Civil War was?
1850 to 1900.
There you go. That's the right answer. Only 43% of the teenagers who took the survey knew that. Here's an easier one for the radio. Which president said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country"? The choices were Nixon, Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, or John F. Kennedy.
I'm going to say Taft.
That's the right answer, my good boss. Not really. I don't know how to handle that situation.
Well, that's Jared Sandberg.
All right, so come on.
JFK.
Okay, JFK. That's the right answer. Only 70%. Actually, 70% is not
bad.
Got
high.
That.
That's pretty good.
One more. I'll give you one more. President Abraham Lincoln wrote the Bill of Rights, the Emancipation Proclamation, or the Missouri Compromise?
Yes.
Emancipation Proclamation.
And they did pretty well. 82% got that one right. You know, so
they're not that dumb.
They're all right.
It's like only 96% of Americans have working toilets. I mean, there's always a few percent of outliers. You know, you can never count them for anything.
Where I think the worst one was the Civil War.
That statistic from, buddy.
I'll post a link later.
All right.
Fun facts.
All right. I have the number 3 most emailed story at NPR.org right now. Okay, we all know that the internet has revolutionized the distribution of music, but we always think about pop music. How about a concert violinist named Tasman Little, who's put her latest recordings on the web for free as part of an effort to get classical music to the ears of a wider audience? Here's Rob Gifford's report from London.